Oh, up. Okay, we are good to go.
Okay. Well, since Charlie can't be here today, I've agreed to act as the chair for this meeting. So we will call the meeting to order. Kaylin, you want to go over the meeting procedures and roll call?
Yes, thank you, Chair. As authorized by Government Code Section 11133, this meeting will occur remotely via Zoom without an in-person meeting location. All members will be able to unmute themselves as needed, but we ask that microphones stay muted unless you're speaking. All public participants will remain muted, and Commission staff will invite you to unmute yourself when it's your time to speak. If members have questions or comments, please use the virtual raise hand function found at the bottom of the screen on the Zoom app. And if you're participating by conference line, you can dial *9 to raise your hand and *6 to unmute yourself. This meeting is being recorded, so we ask that you please speak clearly. And for technical support with Zoom, please email it@agpvideo.com. That concludes the meeting logistics. So I will now move to member roll call and introductions. I will call members in alphabetical order by last name. Feel free to also state your affiliation. I'm just going to start sharing my screen. One moment, please. Here we go. Okay, Jonathan Bishop.
Here, acting chair of the State Water Resource Control Board.
Thank you. Tessa Charnofsky.
I'm here. I am interim alternate for Supervisor Lindsay Horvath.
Tom Ford.
Present. Good afternoon. Tom Ford, Director of the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program.
Welcome. Barack Camelgard.
Present.
Catherine Peace.
I present, representing Heal the Bay.
Martha Tremblay.
Present, LACSD.
Claire Wagoner.
Claire Wagoner, State Water Board alternate for Jonathan Bishop.
And Erica Yelensky.
Good afternoon, everyone. Erica Yelensky with U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program Coordinator.
Welcome. Okay, so that will conclude roll call introductions.
And right.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Caitlin.
I was going to recommend to move to item one.
Okay, thank you. And item one is comments from members of the public on items not on the agenda. All public comments not on the agenda, informational item on the agenda, or public testimony on any action will generally be limited to a combined total of no more than 4 minutes per person. Public testimony regarding items on the agenda will be considered after the staff report, briefing, or presentation, and time allotted to public testimony is subject to discretion of the chair. Do we have anyone requesting public comment?
Mr. Chair, Bob Lloyd here, AGP Video. Excuse me for interrupting. Teresa, that this your special guest has logged in. Could you change your name to your appropriate name and title?
Is that something that we can do on our own?
Yeah. Yes. The young lady that logged in as you can change her name.
Barry, can you try to do that? I don't know.
Yes, I'll do that right now.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Welcome.
For public comment requests, we received one comment in advance to comment under item one, this item.
Okay. Could you unmute and that
yes.
person?
Yes. So Walter Lamb, just give us one moment while we get your timer up for 4 minutes. Thank you, Hank. Is it ready to go?
I'm unmuted if that's, are you asking if the timer's ready to go?
Yeah, apologies, Walter. I was asking our AGP staff if the timer is ready. Okay, it looks like you're all set, Walter. You now have the floor.
Great, thank you, Caitlin. And thanks for the opportunity to speak. Walter Lamb, representing the Boundary Wetlands Land Trust. We have been obviously coming to these meetings for a long time, asking for, you know, more information about the Boundary Wetlands. We rarely get it. When we do get information, it's incredibly cryptic and, you know, very often not directly on point to the you know, information that we're seeking. And I understand that it's not a topic that is within your comfort zone. And I think a lot of people feel burnt out by it. They feel like there's been discussion for a long time, but that's exactly why there needs to be more meaningful discussion, right? Not that we just keep going decade after decade of people coming to these meetings and asking for information, but that you play your role as someone that's supposed to advise, you know, monitor, assess, coordinate, and advise projects like this. And I know very often when we bring up Biona, the first sort of reflexive thing is to say that you're not the lead agency. And the fact is, you're really not the lead agency for very many projects at all, very few. So if you limited your discussion to things for which you're the lead agency, you have very little to talk about. And obviously the reality is you don't. You talk about a lot of projects that are the city of Culver City or some other nonprofit, maybe it's a county project. And it seems only when it comes to this one that becomes a reason not to talk about it. So just this morning, we finally got one answer to one question that we've been asking now for years, which is how much money, once we found out that the money that CDFW got, $1.7 million for what was supposed to be the final design and permitting for the whole project, was only going to be spent on two restoration sequences. Our very next question was, well, how much would it cost for the whole thing, the final design and permitting? And we just got an answer this morning of $9 million, which when in 2004, the estimate was $2 million, and we're at currently just shy of $15 million. And so now to hear that additional $9 million, that's a huge red flag. And what I would ask you to think about is not just the Boundary Wetlands Restoration Project as this nebulous, you know, abstract thing that has a name, but the benefits that you've been told would result from this project and the benefits that many of your own organizations have been touting, and tie those back to this sequence as one and two project, because they're not there. And I mentioned before that the Bay Foundation, right, which is your NEP staff, that they put together four infographics all the way back in 2016. One was for access. There's no access plan for Southeast and South Area B. If one gets drawn up, you know, we'll look at it, but that's not what was the result of, you know, all the 18 years of planning. Another was the amount of fill. And so the fill, that was all Area A, not South and Southeast Area B. Another one was water. If you drive by South, and it's not perfect, South and Southeast Area B aren't perfect. We're not making that argument. But my goodness, you go by there right now and you look at this idea from CDFW that it's starved of its water source, and it's just not consistent with reality. And I think another problem we have is that not many decision makers are bothering to go and just look at the ecosystem. And then another one was invasive species. And yes, there are some invasive species, but it's mostly native pickleweed in South and Southeast Area B. And so the charts that the Bay Foundation has used show that the biggest problem with invasives is in Area A. So this idea of not doing anything and just waiting is not good ecologically. So I appreciate the time. I do hope you will schedule a discussion for this. Thank you.
Thank you, Walter.
Chair, we didn't receive any other requests for comment, and we don't have any other public participants joining us.
Okay. Well, let's move on to item two then. Are there any proposed changes to the agenda from any of the members? Okay. All right, let's have reports from the Chief Administrative Director and the Santa Monica Bay NEP Director.
Great, thank you. Okay, well, hello everyone. It's great to see all of you, and I hope the new year's going well so far. I'm going to keep this brief because on the agenda today, we've got two discussion items. to talk to you about before we move into the voting items. So just a couple updates. So I'm glad we have our acting chair today. Thank you, John. But I wanted to acknowledge the service of our former chair, Charlie Caspary. As you may know, he served multiple terms. He was engaged, he was reliable, and he was really a pleasure to work with for staff. So if you think a letter or some other form of appreciation for his service might be in order, commission staff would be happy to work on that. So I'll touch base at the end. Okay, most of what we've been working on is on the agenda today, but a couple other things were that we heard back from CalRIM. That's the state approving agency for the commission's record retention policy. And they have approved the version of the record retention policy that the December governing board meeting approved. And I expect that to be finalized before the February meeting. We've also been working on planning the 2023 Santa Monica Bay Stakeholders Public Workshop. That will be on February 23rd from 2 to 4:30. All are welcome and encouraged to attend the workshop and provide input on the fiscal year 24 work plan and priority projects for the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program in general. So we plan to distribute a flyer for the workshop next week. Please share it. And we're really hoping for a robust and diverse attendance this year. Yesterday at the Safe Clean Water Program South Santa Monica Bay WASC meeting, we saw project presentations for four infrastructure projects for the round four, that's the fiscal year 23-24 Stormwater Investment Plan, SIPs. So for consideration for those. So that project evaluation process is beginning in the north, south, and central WASCs for Santa Monica Bay. And I will keep you updated on the process and if there's any critical projects that I need to mention. I also just want to mention that last week there was a nonprofit Beach Ecology Coalition meeting, and they had excellent presentations, and there were a lot of NEP related presentations at that. So there was a presentation on the Santa Monica Beach Restoration Project, which is led by the Bay Foundation. There were updates on Malibu Lagoon Restoration and pending Topanga Lagoon Restoration. There was more information on the Beach Ecology Certification Project. That's part of the SMB NEP bill, bipartisan infrastructure law funding work plan that we approved a few months back. And then the best part was a tour of the Santa Monica Beach Restoration site. And we got updates on the monitoring results so far. It was really great to see the site, and it made me hope that we can have a tour for the governing board members soon there. And that kind of brings me to my last item. For planning purposes, I just want to reiterate that executive committee meetings will be fully remote through June of 2023. Governing board meetings will also be fully remote, with the exception of a possible hybrid meeting in April. We're working on an ideal venue that we can pair with a tour for the April meeting. So if you have any suggestions or preferences, let me know. I think that is all. Thank you. And can I answer any questions?
Seeing none, we'll move on to Tom.
Quickly before, I'm sorry, Tom, before we do, I don't know if I should call you Jonathan or acting chair, but acting chair. Do you have any thoughts on the letter of appreciation or something for Charlie that you'd like us to get started on?
Yes, I think that that would be very appropriate for a letter for the governing board to sign.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. I think I'm next up. I know we've got a very busy agenda, so I'm also going to, I'll keep it brief. In advance of the upcoming governing board meeting, I know the agenda for that is on our agenda today. We're working on pushing forward that draft work plan for fiscal year 2024. As in years past, it will be developed much from this past work plan. I expect a few things to arrive in there that aren't necessarily following our usual sort of course of progression on advancing a given action plan. I think we've got some work to do in 2024 regarding governance and the operations of the NEP. So leave that where it stands at this time. Also a time of year in Washington, D.C. for budgeting processes. There was appropriations that went through in the last Congress. We've got a new Congress, whether they would honor those appropriation levels or not. is up into the air. And so we don't have a fix yet on the funds that will be available to the NEPs through the NEP program, through the president's budget and the work of the Congress yet. As soon as we have a better understanding and a clear answer for you, we'll share that so that folks can put that into their consideration set when thinking about the work plan for this coming year. We will be spending our spring meeting in Washington, D.C. this year in person. Also, a likelihood of a hybrid option there. So very encouraged that we might be able to open up that meeting or a portion of that meeting for the management conferences of the 28 national ESHRAE programs to participate in a portion of those proceedings. And likely that day would be scheduled for the 21st of March, which would be a Tuesday. So once that finally coalesces, we'll share that and put that out. I think, speaking for myself and some of the other directors, we're really excited that we'd have a chance for everybody to kind of get eyes on some of the discourse that usually transpires at that meeting. Those were all forward-looking. Now I'm jumping backwards. We have completed the process for the annual report from last year, which is sort of a final culmination of what we accomplished in that last work plan. So I just need to clean that up and get it over to Caitlin and Marissa so that they can put it up on the commission website. As soon as it goes up there, we'll also put up that same copy at santamonicabay.org. And then for BIL, came up already in Marissa's report. And we've got a work plan due on June 1 for that body of work for this coming year. I think the direction thus far has been to keep that separate, yet largely parallel path with the work plan development for the 320 funds for that same fiscal year 24. Excited that we have the opportunity to advance an equity strategy in advance of June 1, and that we are, I think, very close to moving through the final contracting and the award for those funds so we can get started on the ground. So hopefully in the next couple of months, I'll have a more substantive update for you for the progress that we're starting to make on that work plan that I think many of us are duly excited about. I think that's probably it for that. As for some of that progress on the ground, I usually focus on this as a part of my report. The ocean has been decidedly unfriendly for mariners over the past several weeks. So the boat has been safely tied up at the dock. So I don't have much to say about what's going on under the water, other than we're really eager to get out there and see what changes that prolonged high energy wave event has brought to our coast. I think many of you are well informed as to some of the changes that have occurred along the sandy coastline of our study area, largely Santa Monica Bay. Large erosion events focused in some places very profoundly. So very pleased with the responses and the interest of numerous parties to figure out what is the significance of this event? How might we plan in a more proactive manner with the appropriate agencies and individuals to really come up with some strategies that will have us better positioned, I think, for the next time a wave event like this occurs along our coast. So that is certainly top of mind. And again, a lot of effort over the past several weeks dealing with that. The other one I wanted to just mention was, I think we've got a shot with the King Tides coming up this weekend to take a first pass at the Santa Monica Pier breakwater with some LIDAR equipment to get a three-dimensional map of the existing sort of surface or top of that breakwater so we can start building an informed physical model of what that breakwater looks like. That in conjunction with other effort later this year will help us really start to get some parameters around what's possible with our interests in augmentation or alteration of that breakwater for the many purposes that I think we've shared over the past meetings. So with that, I think I'm going to wrap it up. And if there are any questions, I'll do my best to try to answer them. Thanks. It's up to you, John. You call him out.
Erica.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Tom and Marissa. Tom, I had a question about the last point you made. I've never done LiDAR monitoring, but I've seen the results, I guess, on paper and computer. But what would you imagine would happen this weekend? Like, are you going out at the lowest tide and at the highest and comparing? Could you talk a little bit more in detail about what you're planning to do?
Yeah, so yes, happily. So the expanse of the breakwater is about 600 meters in length. Originally constructed in the 30s, large change to at least, pardon me, this what it was emergent and was tossed around quite significantly in the 82-83 El Nino. So not as much emergent rock there. And my educated guess is that we're looking at, you know, somewhere around 30 to 50 meters of rock that actually still protrudes from the water at an average tidal cycle. We're taking advantage of a very significant low, and the waves have calmed down, so it turned out to be a really great opportunity for us this weekend. So we just put together the plans in the last 24 hours to get out there, Erica. I've never worked with LiDAR directly, so this would be my first time doing that. We're bringing in a team from UCLA to help us get that work done, and so they'll be the ones running all of the equipment. I will simply be piloting the boat. So we plan on making a pass on the outside and on the inside of at least one pass on the inside and the outside of the breakwater to get the picture that we need. There'll be some other equipment set up on shore or on the pier. More to come. I'm honestly learning on the fly right now, but that's the plan.
Any other questions for Tom? Seeing none, let's move on to the update on the information item list. Caitlin?
Thank you, John. The informational item list was developed back in 2020 to help track and plan presentations as a way for us to address issues of concern in the watershed while also managing staff's core workload. For the EC's first meeting of 2023, we thought it'd be a good opportunity to discuss priorities for informational items this year. So we distributed an updated informational items list and a calendar of projected agenda items to the executive committee as meeting materials. The list is also available on the commission's website for reference. To orient you to the list, the updated list shows 28 topics with the relevant action number and description. And the list includes two of the topics that were added per the executive committee's last discussion in September. Toward the top of the list are topics that we plan to schedule soon and that the executive committee previously identified as higher priorities. And the first three topics you can see are items proposed for the first few governing board meetings in 2023. And then toward the bottom of the list are topics for which we've scheduled presentations in the past and new presentations aren't planned at this time. So now I'll open it up to the executive committee members. What would you like to prioritize for 2023? We welcome ideas for prioritizing topics already on the list, maybe identifying potential presenters, adding new topics, or even removing topics from the list. And I can also screen share the list for reference during the discussion if that's helpful, but you can also refer to the list provided in the meeting materials or on the commission's website. And I can answer questions as well.
My question is simply if you can share it, that would be fantastic. I've read it, but I don't have access to it at the moment.
Sure.
Thank you.
It's a rather long list, so it's challenging to show more than a few at a time. So just please let me know if you'd like me to scroll. Just trying to hide some controls here. I'll scroll a little bit. Keep going. Thank you.
And I'm just going to jump in and say, although the list is very helpful, even if it's something that's already on the list, there's no harm in saying it again. That might make us think, hey, okay, that's a priority. Or if anyone here just has thought of something like, hey, I want to hear about this now or sometime this year, just please let us know. Caitlin, you have hand.
Oh, I'm sorry. I cannot see. Please feel free to. Oh, I see now. Martha.
Oh, I think Erica or Barak had their hands up before me.
Okay. Erica, please.
Okay, I don't know that I was first, but I'll go in the interest of time. So on the page 8 of 9, mm-hmm. climate change resiliency, assessing coastal and upland impacts. I was thinking about what Tom was talking about a few minutes ago in terms of erosion at our beaches through the storms. So it would be interesting to have an update. I'm not sure when. It's a little bit further down, right there. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that it fits into this. On what we've learned or kind of the impact. So at the Beach Ecology Coalition meeting last week, they talked, beaches throughout, the South Coast lost tremendous amount of sand. So I would love to hear more, and then what at least short-term impacts, and then how this might guide future beach and dune restoration.
Erica, do you have presenters in mind for that?
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh. Great question. I mean, there was a room full of excellent presenters last week. I don't know if Tom is the right person. I don't know if John Dorsey or Karina Johnston, I don't know if they'd be willing. I'm not sure who the appropriate, but that's what comes to mind.
Yeah, if I may interject, I think there's some folks with some physical monitoring and modeling skills that might also be very informative of this that could have been but weren't able to participate in that in the Beach Ecology Coalition meeting last week. Patrick Bernard would be an excellent choice. Timu Galleon, who was presenting at the Beach Ecology Coalition, but focusing on work down in Cardiff. I think some of those folks and others might be a real nice way to go. It might even be that we would, think to maybe invite more than one speaker on the matter and, kind of give them, 10 or 15 minutes to kind of give us a brief on some of the projects they're involved in or what their findings or concerns are. And then we could kind of open it up in almost like a panel-like manner for questions for the three of those presenters. What kind of comes to mind. Thanks for hearing me out.
Great, thanks.
Thank you. And Barak?
Yeah, thanks. First of all, I'll just say, I think many of these topics are worthy of our attention this year. So the few that I pick out don't mean, that I disagree with the other ones. But in terms of ones that, our LA Waterkeeper and organizations like us, I think are paying more attention to, one in no particular order, is one, the reference to aquacultures on page 3 of with the second from bottom item. You know, for those who do or don't know, the one page down, there you go. So I guess for me in the email, it was page three.
Yes.
You know, the California Fish and Game Commission is considering sort of public interest criteria for aquaculture leases, not fin fish, but other aquaculture leases, leases in California waters. And the federal government, through the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and NOAA Fisheries, are looking at putting what they're calling aquaculture opportunity areas in Santa Monica Bay, as well as up along the Santa Barbara Channel. And so, you know, those are things happening right now. And I think, you know, there hasn't been a lot of, let's say, consistency between how different government organizations and agencies have been sort of addressing those and, you know, making sure that they're being done in ways that are protective of, you know, each independent agency's, you know, mission. And so I just want to make sure that that's something that we're sort of keeping an eye out for. Number two, again, not in any particular order of importance, is the reference to reusing and recycling and advanced wastewater treatment. Obviously, that's a big issue that I'm sure you've all seen and covered in LA Times, New York Times, what have you. And I think it's really important, especially with the drought and all the other water issues we've been having, to make sure that, you know, we're really supporting reuse and recycling as much as possible, just because we have such a big resource that's just getting wasted. And then the lastly is the mitigating impacts of the sea level rise. You know, the sort of point that I want to make with this is, you know, I've heard from other California agencies about sort of the actions that they're taking to deal with sea level rise and the erosion and how that's affecting sort of both rights of access as well as facilities and things on the shoreline. And the answer I've been given repeatedly is that people are monitoring it without any real plan of how to deal with it. And, you know, there's no, I know, sort of taboo, the idea of managed retreat or versus armoring or whatever. But I think it's important that there is some plan and focus on it, as opposed to continuing to just monitor it while the, you know, everything is eroding. So those are sort of my three.
Thank you, Brock.
And so, Martha, Brock, oh, can I, go ahead. Before you go, Martha, can I, Brock, do you, are you looking for someone like the Coastal Commission to come and talk about their, how they're addressing sea level rise in their permitting? Because they're, you know, the primary land use, coastal land use permitter, and they are doing a lot on requirements for planning for sea level rise in communities and infrastructure. And so that might be educational for the group, but is that what you're thinking about?
I mean, I definitely have Coastal Commission in mind. I've spoken to them, and, you know, and they're sort of one of the ones that I've heard from that they have, you know, I'm trying to think of the right way to put it, sort of the bureaucratic answer of what they say they're doing. And then whenever I've asked them, sorry, can you hear me?
I said that you're bureaucrats. That's the title of their job.
Sometimes have the bureaucratic answer of, you know, what they're doing. But then when you ask them directly, like, okay, but what are you doing now? They can never give an answer. So certainly I would, you know, if they could come and say what kind of concrete actions they're actually taking to deal with sea level rise and right of access and erosion and retreat and all those kind of issues, it would definitely be informative for sure.
Martha?
Our, All right, so is it my turn?
Yes, I'm going.
So I think we've got a lot of good topics here. You know, of course, I'm always supportive of us sharing information in terms of what's going on with recycling, in terms of the ocean acidification studies. That's always good. And maybe next year we can have SCORP give an update on their modeling effort. I'm on the SCORP Commission, and they do nice updates in terms of the work that they're doing for the Ocean Protection Council. The model runs all that stuff, and I think maybe sometime next year they would be a good one to invite and to give us a presentation on their modeling efforts. I want to ask you, and maybe, you know, I wasn't around the last time the State of the Bay report was done, and I know it's a multi-year process, but I guess it would be helpful if at some point you kind of maybe give us an update in terms of, and maybe this is a TAC activity, they give us an update of where things are, what's the timeline, what to expect. These are huge documents, and you know, it's always helpful just to kind of give the commission an update of what's coming. And when you have a look at things, what is it that you want to get input on? You know, there's a lot of great technical work, but I figure, you know, at the end of the day, they're probably their findings, things that you're seeing that might kind of shape the course of, you know, our next actions and activities. So maybe something on that sometime. I mean, like I said, I don't know when it's scheduled, or maybe it's almost done and I just don't know, but you know, so it would be helpful to get an update on that and as a preparation. And we do have new commission members, and you know, that's something that I also think would be helpful as we have new people come on board. Marissa, I don't know if you called them and maybe give them an overview, a nice little orientation one-on-one in terms of what happens in the commission, what we do, the executive board, the commission board, all this stuff, right? The resources that you guys have online. But, you know, this is just another thing in terms of, you know, we do have new people coming, and, you know, kind of letting them know what to expect would be helpful.
Catherine?
Thanks. I just wanted to elevate a couple of things that were of interest to me and Hail the Bay, kind of adding on to one of the topics that Barack was talking about in terms of aquaculture. I think that could also go nicely with the decadal management review that's happening of our MPAs across the state. So, you know, the report just came out on the 10-year kind of assessment of how our MPAs are doing. So it could be great to kind of combine that and specifically focus on some of our local MPAs and see, you know, pull out some of the reports and results from that to kind of take a look at our local MPAs. And then the other one is about the DDT. I would love to kind of dive into that some more. I mean, I think the timing, and John, you can speak to this more too, but you know, their USCC grant just released their report. So it could be great to get an update from USCC grant, as well as the funding opportunity that's coming up. So maybe it could be great to also tie that into sort of when there's projects that are picked for the state funding to work on DDT. It could be good to kind of get an update too, and once those projects are picked, which will be likely around June, is my understanding. So I think that could be a great topic. Thanks.
All right, any other comments or questions? I would just make a comment that we've had many recycled water updates in the last year. We might want to, wait a little while on those so that we can get some other things in the mix. I would agree with Catherine that probably in July, I don't know what the meeting after June is. Can't remember off the top of my head. But that probably would be a good time to have an update from either the State Water Board or from Sea Grant on the projects that have been chosen through the RFP for that 5.6 million. And I do think we could ask SQRP at any time to come talk about the ocean acidification modeling. You know, they're going to come to the State Water Board in March and give a presentation. They've given a number of presentations to the commission board members. So those are my, I do have one question, and Brock, I will get right back to you, but a question for the group is that if we go up to the top, we have schedule for the April and June meetings proposed, and I want to make sure folks are, I mean, in February too, actually, make sure folks are okay with those being the ones that staff works on. I think it's too late to change February or add something, but April and June are still long enough away. And so before we move off of this, I want to make sure people are thinking about that. Brock?
Yeah, sorry, I just realized there, I have one more topic, which I thought I had seen originally when I reviewed this, but now that I'm looking back, I don't see it. So I just want to make sure I say it in case it's actually not on this list. You know, the list includes things like microplastic and sort of contamination generally and pollution and trash and stuff like that. But it doesn't specifically say bacteria, and bacteria and sort of fecal matter, E. coli, all those things have you know, definitely been an issue in the Santa Monica Bay watershed. And so I want to make sure that we're doing that, you know, looking into that as well. And I know, you know, Jonathan just mentioned SQRP, and I know that SQRP is doing some interesting things with bacteria, like I think they're calling it fingerprinting. I forget what the actual word they're using is in terms of being able to trace specific bacteria, whatever you call them, blooms or whatever, back to a specific source. And so, you know, it's definitely, especially with the heavy rains we've been having, and obviously everyone's familiar with all the sort of beach alerts that have been coming out for a long time. You know, I just want to make sure we're also sort of, you know, looking into that issue as well.
Okay, I'm not quite sure what kind of a info item that would be. We could talk, I could see new technologies in bacterial monitoring and tracking. I could see a report on, are there, you know, what the changes over the last 10 years have been in beach closures. We could ask Heal the Bay to do that. They do the great job on tracking that. I'm not sure what specifically on bacteria.
I mean, I imagine sort of at a minimum something similar to the microplastic item that's just, you know, talk about the monitoring and make sure we're informed about, you know, inform any actions that we may want to take. But again, this, you know, it's not that I had something sort of specific in mind. I just think that, you know, we talk about a lot of different sort of types of pollution and contaminants, and I just think that, you know, bacteria needs to be on that list in some form. But even if it's just, you know, at the baseline level of sort of having someone like SQRP or whoever, or Heal the Bay, because I agree that they obviously know a ton, just kind of, you know, give a almost like a bacteria 101, just so that it's something on our radar, that, you know, because obviously it's a big issue that otherwise it doesn't seem like we're giving any attention to in this agenda, or list of topics, I should say.
Okay. So does anyone have a concern with the items listed for February, April, or June at this point? Okay. Marissa, has this been helpful?
Yes, I was hoping for a window to say thank you. That was very helpful. I think we identified some very clear priorities and some clear options for presenters, and I look forward to getting them in place. And I'll check in with some of you maybe if there's any questions about the details or specifics that you want to see.
Okay. Anything else on this topic from anyone? Hearing none, we will go on to Marissa, on to the planning and scoping for limited revisions to the commission's MOU.
Yes, thank you. That's the key, limited. Okay, so today we want to update you on what's come up, and this is a need for limited revisions to the commission's memorandum of understanding. I'm going to call it the MOU from now on. To be clear, no action is required today. This is something we just want to bring to your attention and hear any comments before we proceed. The current MOU was approved in July 2020, so recently, but we have been keeping a list as we identified minor corrections that would need to be made at the next revision. Then the recent state redistricting created the need for a more immediate update to the MOU. The new final redistricting maps that I'm sure you have all been affected in one way or another from took effect with the 2022 elections, and they impacted the non-voting state legislator seats for us. The boundaries changed to the degree that the state Senate and state assembly seats in the MOU membership list need to be updated to remove districts that are no longer in the SMB NEP service area at all, and to include new districts that are now in the service area. So commission staff and legal counsel have coordinated, and we like to take an inclusive approach when we make these recommendations, and that might result in an additional seat. And just to remind you, these are non-voting seats. So this is sort of the other piece to this. A comprehensive conservation and management plan, CCMP, update is scheduled to begin later this year. So we're proposing for this MOU revision that it remain limited in scope. Major changes such as expanding elected member eligibility criteria, et cetera, would be considered as part of the larger CCMP update. And after commission staff work to build relationships with tribes and find out how they prefer to engage with the commission. So to kind of wrap this up, we provided a staff report listing the potential updates to the MOU. Essentially, we're proposing to make the necessary redistricting corrections, other minor language corrections to the membership list, and a handful of other minor corrections or updates to commission procedures that have been identified in coordination with legal counsel or management. Staff plans to draft these proposed limited revisions. We'd notify the MOU signatories of the revisions and then bring the draft to the governing board for consideration of approval, potentially at the April meeting. These signatories are the Secretary of the California Environmental Protection Agency and the Secretary of the California Natural Resources Agency, as well as the Chair of the Commission. So since this requires some coordination, the timeline is tentative, but as you know, the draft would come back to the Executive Committee first for approval to be included on a governing board agenda. So you'd see it again then. So that's kind of the plan. Are there any comments or questions on staff drafting these limited MOU revisions?
Well, wow. I appreciate keeping it limited at this time so that the more major ones can be done together once we've had a time to have some consultation with the local tribes.
Thank you. Thank you. Tom.
Yeah, and I think and maybe I'm just building a little bit off of what Jonathan shared, but I think there is a very timely need to make sure that the representation reflective of the new districts get moved forward as quickly as possible, and allowing for the, you know, for some of these other changes to obviously come into play. And I think we do recognize that the MOU is you know, a living document, but it's a big deal when we open it up and try to get after it. So I like both the context in which you presented that, Marissa, and understand the rationale that you're sharing. So thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Any other comments or concerns? You said it's not for our action, but I think you're looking to make sure that you're on the right track. And if anyone has a concern, now's the time. Okay. We will move on to the next item, the consideration of approval of the November 17th meetings. I'm sorry, but I couldn't find those for some reason.
So they were distributed with the agenda, and then we sent another email to the executive committee with the rest of the materials. There was confusion, apologies.
Okay.
We do have it linked on our website, and I can screen share the draft document if that's helpful. I think we can also postpone this item too if members aren't prepared to vote.
Yeah, the website might be the quickest place to get to those.
So I'm going to quickly take a look at it, but does anyone have any comments or concerns?
I thought they were excellent.
Great. Do I have a motion?
I'll move to approve. I'll second.
All in favor? Or do we need to do a roll call?
Preferably a roll call, I believe.
Okay.
I'm prepared to do that. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Jonathan Bishop.
Aye.
Thank you. Tessa Charnofsky?
Yes.
Barak Kemelgard?
Yes.
Catherine Peace?
Yes.
Martha Tremblay?
Yes.
Thank you. The minutes are approved.
Great. And so now we move on to the establishing the agenda for the governing board meet February 16th. And the first item on that is election of chair. Marissa, did you want to have any comments on that?
Yes, thanks. You know, we heard this before at the last EC meeting. And then at the December 2022 governing board meeting, members decided to postpone the chair election until the February meeting and give members time to consider the commitment. To recap events, Charlie Caspary explained that he will not seek to continue as chair. Steve Uring, representing the Las Virgenes Malibu Council of Governments, was nominated. And he did let me know after the meeting that he's considering the chair position, but needs to consult with the city council. Jonathan Bishop also stated he is considering the position, but needs to consult with State Water Board leadership. So we're proposing to have another open nomination period from January 26th to February 8th. The voting members can email nominations directly to me. And these dates will be the same as the open nomination period that we're proposing in the next agenda item for vice chair elections. We provided the staff report again, including draft nomination and election procedures. And just to remind you, the chair serves a 2-year term, may serve consecutive terms. Self nominations are fine and floor nominations will be open again at the governing board meeting in February. So staff recommends that the EC approve the governing board meeting chair election for the February 16th governing board meeting agenda. And of course, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. No questions? No one wants to jump in and say that they've been dying to be chair for years? Okay. Teresa?
Yes, I do not want to be chair. But I guess I would say that it would make sense for us to consider a chair who has a history of working on water policy and works in the water field. And so I don't know if there are any requirements for those who would want to be chair that they have, you know, are engaged in this work explicitly. That would be my only comment and question.
I don't believe there are any rules except that they be voting members of the commission at this point.
And I guess my comment would be, I think it would make sense to consider people seriously who do work in the field and know the issue, you know, really well. That would be my comment.
All right. I totally support that we need to elect a chair. And as I said before, if there are no other nominations, I will do a self nomination, I guess, unless someone wants to nominate me. But I don't live in the area. You know, I'm not in the area all the time, and so I want to give an opportunity for one of the local stakeholders if they want to. But I'm happy to do it.
Do you need a second?
So we're not voting today.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Do you need anything to move on to the next item, Marissa?
I do not. Thank you.
And then I have a question on the vice chairs, because it's not just a vice chair. It is a group of vice chairs. Is that correct?
Yes, five.
Basically
all of us, right? It's everyone on, it's the executive committee, right?
Those
are the vice chairs.
Jonathan, do you want me to go ahead and introduce that item now, or?
Yeah, I think so, unless there's anything else I was moving on with unofficially.
Okay, sounds good to me. As we've established, we're proposing to schedule the governing board vice chair elections as well for the February 16th meeting to follow the chair election. And we provided a staff report for this too. There's a little bit of repetition between the two that includes the procedures for vice chair elections. So to kind of get to your question, Martha, or everybody's, the commission MOU states that voting governing board members shall elect five vice chairs from among voting governing board members. And those five vice chairs will also serve on the executive committee. They also may act as governing board chair in the chair's absence. So the vice chairs also serve 2-year terms and can serve consecutive terms. And the last election for the vice chairs, some of you may remember, was February 18th, 2021. So an election is needed at the February governing board meeting, and that will be before your terms expire. So that will be nice. And commission staff recommend that a nomination period is also opened for the vice chairs. That will be the same as the nomination period for the chair, January 26th, closing February 8th. Same thing, self-nominations are allowed and floor nominations will be open the day of the meeting. And we're recommending that the EC approve the governing board vice chair elections for the February 16th governing board meeting agenda. And I'm happy to provide more clarification if that's needed.
Tom?
I'm recognizing that the roll call votes that we conduct online do take time. This is just a procedural question, making sure we leave enough time. Are we looking at a full slate of vice chairs and then we vote on those, or is it each individual vice seat perhaps is considered individually? I just want to try to get clear on that in my thinking.
Yes. So, you know, in the procedures, it does say a slate at the discretion of the chair. If everyone's okay with it, a slate is definitely allowed. Of course, if there's too many nominations than seats, that would not work. So.
And maybe, sorry, one last question on the matter. The order of the election in this case, would we is we presume that we would look to elect a chair first and then consider the vice chairs. Okay, thank you.
You got it.
And Caitlin, I don't remember very well last time, but I believe that in 2021 we did have a slate proposed. Was that correct? I just don't remember.
For the vice chair elections, did we have a slate? Yes, to my recollection, that is correct. We voted as a slate.
That's what I thought. So so we're looking in the procedures for people to nominate vice chairs. Are we asking for them to nominate individuals or multiples or a slate, or do you know?
I think anything is allowed. You know, essentially we could just have people stating, hey, I have interest in being a vice chair, or I want to continue as a vice chair. And, you know, maybe we have five people who do that. But I think it could be any of the above. And Eric, you can please say something if I'm wrong on any of this.
Marissa, this is Eric Gilman, counsel. And no, everything that's come up so far is accurate. If we have five nominees that want to move forward, we could vote on as a slate. If it's more than five, I think we are going to have to do it in a more individualized sort of way. and we'll, I suspect, include that in the procedures staff report that will go out in advance of the next governing board meeting.
So I have this vague recollection of people voting, giving their five people when we had more than five. And then at the end, those the five that had the most votes out of all of them, is so that each board member listed the five people that they wanted out of the nominations, is the way I remember it.
So I guess I'll tell you guys what I remember last time.
Okay.
And last time it was, we didn't have five. And I know I was the last one to volunteer at the day of, because when I wanted to give someone else a chance, right, to be part of the executive committee, but we didn't have enough people. So I was the last one to volunteer. And I think maybe, Jonathan, what you're referring to is when we had the election of the board members, because for that one, for the special, the ones that have to be elected, right, onto the board,
that's what I was thinking of.
We did go through and, you know, kind of tally up who had the most votes.
You're right.
But I think for the executive committee, what I recall, we didn't have a full slate, and I volunteered to complete it.
And the last question I have for you, Eric, does my special position cause a problem?
Well, under the current MOU, you know, there's a set position for the deputy from the State Water Board, the position you hold, Jonathan. If you move into the chair role, you know, we'll have a total of six members, assuming we are able to fill the remaining five slots. So we'll have an even number. You know, Marissa and I have talked about this being one of the revisions that we make to the MOU, potentially where in the event that the position in the person in your position, Jonathan, serves as the chair, we can elect one additional vice chair to have seven, an odd number. There's utility in odd numbers, although in practice, you know, that I don't see that really posing a problem for the functioning of the executive committee in any way, if we do just have the six for now.
So I guess I'm asking a slightly different question, just to be blunt. Would declare become my position, or will we vote for another vice chair?
No, Claire would not become your position because you are there's just one position. She's your alternate. The way that the MOU is written is, you know, we'll stick with it, or electing five vice chairs. So you'll have a total of six members on the executive committee instead of seven, because you are sort of occupying two spots.
Understood. And deserve every bit of it. Okay. So I would like to make one last, you know, all of you think about if you want to be serve on the executive committee again. And if so, put your name in. Before the meeting. All right. That's my pitch.
Forgive me for interrupting, Chair. I just wanted to note that I see EJ Caldwell joined us.
Oh, great.
I'll make note of that for the record. Hi, EJ.
Hi, thank you very much. I apologize for being late. I did have a conflict and that meeting just ended. So I apologize for joining late.
So we're going through the agenda items for the upcoming some reference on where we are. Anything else, Marissa, on elections?
That's all. Thanks to all of you for your input.
Okay. The next item is the draft SMBMEP fiscal year work plan.
Yes. So this is a little bit of a summary and a request for the presentation to be on the governing board agenda. So we provided a staff report for this item, and it goes into more detail. And this, as I said, will be a quick summary. Each year, the Commission collaborates with the Bay Foundation to develop the SMBNEP annual work plan, and that identifies activities to further implementation of the CCMP for the upcoming federal fiscal year. So, following the Governing Board's approval of the annual work plan, the Bay Foundation submits it to the US EPA as part of the application for the annual Federal Clean Water Act, Section 320. Jeez. Section 320 NEP grant to implement those specified activities. The fiscal year 24, and I think Tom got at this in his report, the fiscal year 24 work plan will build on the current fiscal year 23 work plan. Many priorities and tasks remain similar because they're continuations of multi-year efforts. So the breakdown kind of is the Commission staff and the Bay Foundation staff will provide the preliminary draft work plan in advance of the February 16th Governing Board meeting. And the NEP director will give a presentation on the work plan at the meeting. Commission members and stakeholders can provide input on the preliminary draft at the February 16th Governing Board meeting during the written public comment period, which will be open from February 16th to March 3rd, or during the Santa Monica Bay Stakeholders Public Workshop on February 23rd that I talked about earlier. And of course, we welcome and encourage participation and all feedback on that preliminary draft work plan. Our next steps for Commission staff and Bay Foundation staff are to consider and incorporate the input received through all those avenues I just described, to complete the budget and staffing sections, and then to provide a final draft to the Governing Board for consideration of approval in April. So today, staff are recommending that the Executive Committee schedule a presentation on the preliminary draft SMBNEP Fiscal Year 24 work plan for the February 16th Governing Board meeting.
Any comments or questions? I have one comment, which is, as I'm reading the agenda today, I didn't think of this earlier, sorry, but it seems to me that it would make more sense to have the annual report for 22 prior to the consideration of the work plan for 23.
I think that's a good suggestion.
Does anyone disagree? If Tom?
You had asked a question after I had raised my hand, Jonathan. I'd be happy to let those questions go before I speak.
Does anyone disagree? Or so in that case, I'm going to ask Marissa, that we change the order of the agenda at the governing board meeting to have the annual report information item before the presentation on the draft work plan.
Great, that's noted. And when we take the vote, we'll know that it's for the modified order.
Okay. Tom?
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. And I would also just remind everyone that one of the sections in the draft work plan for a given year is a summary of accomplishments from the prior year. So a lot of what is summarized in that annual report also does translate into that fiscal year work plan. I think much in what Martha was encouraging us to remember, that, you know, we have new members that join, or we have, you know, members of the public that are coming in without a lot of preparation or context. So we try to make sure that the document can stand alone and really help convey efforts of the past, you know, proposals for the future. Appreciate what you're saying. We will get that done. But just a reminder to all that we're thinking along the same track.
Great. So at this point, I think you're looking for a vote on the proposed governing board agenda?
Yes, although we do have one more item. It is that annual update. And Caitlin, I think, might have a little bit to say. Is that true, Caitlin?
Yeah, it's very brief. Okay, so this is that item that updates from the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program's fiscal year 2022 annual report. So this would be a joint presentation by commission staff and the Bay Foundation staff to highlight the NEP's accomplishments from the last fiscal year, which was October 2021 to September 2022. And since 2020, we've been scheduling these presentations for the governing board following the completion of the NEP's annual report to USEPA. So for the governing board meeting in February, we would have a similar brief presentation to celebrate the NEP's efforts and partners' efforts in implementing the CCMP actions and goals. And as Jonathan mentioned, it's also a nice opportunity to reflect on what we've accomplished in the last year before the presentation on the forward-looking fiscal year 2024 work plan. So I can answer any questions, but if not, I think we can move to the vote for the agenda items.
Any questions? So I'd ask for
I'll move.
And I'll second.
Okay, Caitlin?
Yes, I will share my screen. And I've noted the change in the order of the agenda. Excuse me, I'm just gonna hide some pop-ups. Okay, Jonathan Bishop.
Aye.
Thank you. EJ Caldwell.
Aye.
Thank you. Tessa Charnofsky.
Yes.
Thank you. Barack Camelgard.
Yes.
Thank you. Catherine Peace.
Aye.
Thank you. And Martha Tremblay.
Yes.
Thank you. The agenda is approved. Thank you.
Okay, I think that we're on to member comments and announcements. Erica.
This is actually just about the work plan. Sorry, I'm late. Not changing the vote. This is more of a reminder of, because I remember it coming up last year, that the work plan that we'll see will not have a detailed budget with it. Right. So at this point, we're still collecting information. You know, the stakeholder workshop occurs after the governing board meeting. So we wouldn't see, we also don't have final numbers of how much money we have to fund the NEPs. I think we have authorized, but we don't have a final budget for the federal. We're still in continuing resolution. So we don't have the money in the region yet. So I just wanted to share that. So that if people are wondering in February, where is the budget that it's coming? And that I think that's helpful just to set expectations ahead of time. That's all.
And we're not actually voting on it in February. Right. So we won't vote on it until
April. So that, right. So that the NEPs can submit them by June 1st.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Tessa?
Yeah, I simply wanted to say as an announcement, which I think you already all figured out because I had someone else here, that I am not going to be remaining with Team Supervisor Horvath. I'm moving on to a new county department, well, new for me, Internal Services Department focused on environmental protection, sustainability issues. So I'm really, really excited about that. Probably not really focused on water, but maybe I can weasel that in somehow. And so I don't know yet who the replacement will be, the new alternate. Maybe Barry, who showed up today, but we will let you know as soon as possible. It's been marvelous to be with you during this very brief time. I think it's been, what, like 6 months, something like that. You do outstanding work. The staff is marvelous. Everyone is, you know, just really makes all of us in LA County proud that you're protecting, you know, the ocean, the beaches, the wildlife. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us, and good luck. And yes, add water. It's important. I would like to just make a quick comment that Tom, I appreciate you bringing up the NEP directors meeting in March. I would like to attend, and I would like to have Marissa attend if possible for that meeting. I'm sure other, you know, people could. I don't know what the protocol would be, but.
Yeah, and Jonathan, I think, you know, many of us working in the public arena understand, you know, don't want to get too far out ahead of your skis. So we're still working it out, but I think we're very excited that a hybrid option will be available. And I don't foresee us, you know, finding limits yet where, you know, we've hit that, you know, there's 500 people signed in and we can't carry any more. But I think that is one of the capacity issues that we need to figure out to make sure that we can honor that. Otherwise, you know, I can envision that we would have to, you know, winnow this down and say, like, you know, each NEP gets, you know, 20 invitations to use to participate in, again, an aspect of, that, of those proceedings. And once the agenda is finalized, I'll be happy to share it with everyone, surely. And I will carry your interest as well as your thoughts on this forward with the folks that I'm interacting with trying to make this happen. So thank you.
Okay. Any other announcements or?
I would just like to thank Tessa for her service over the past 6 months. I think Tessa, you came in here and did not settle into the orientation period. You came in and started making sure that we understood your priorities and that of the supervisors. And I appreciate your contributions. They've certainly helped me and advanced my perspective and my thinking on our work. And I wish you much luck on the sustainability side. And
thank you.
Yeah, as far as we know, life does not exist without liquid water.
Absolutely.
That's the criteria. So I have a lecture for that for my class if you want. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Tessa.
All right. So we do not have a closed session. Is that correct?
That is correct. No closed session.
So at that point, I think I'm going to adjourn the meeting and claim success at my first acting chair.
Yes, thank you for stepping up. We appreciate you.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. Good luck, Tessa.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Good afternoon. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.